back with the saints and appreciate the Lord allowing me to go to the meeting in Austria and be able to participate and be a blessing there. And thank you for all your prayers for me to come back home. Appreciate it. This morning, we want to talk about the purpose of Christ dying and being resurrected. We want to understand what was done for us. And we want to start in John 3, 16 and 17, very beloved scripture among the children of God. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This was God's plan of redemption, and we're so thankful this morning that he gave his only begotten Son. Just think about your own children, those that have children, and the love you have for them and all, and that be willing to give them up in order to save the whole mankind, those that were doing wicked and evil, and those that were doing all the things that are looked down on in society, and yet Jesus died for all of them. He wanted to bring all of them back to God. We appreciate that this morning. And it was because God loved us. He loved us. And we're so thankful this morning that he made this provision that we have. He made it to where we can get to God and that we can have what God intended us to have. Sin came in the world and spoiled it for Adam and Eve and all of the things that happened there. But God has brought mankind back, and we're thankful for that. In Romans, the fifth chapter, verses 6-9, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." All of us that were ungodly, all of us that were doing bad things, and all of us that were thinking wrong and doing things to each other and being unkind and having maliciousness and unforgiveness. And it's Christ died for all of us that were ungodly. It says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." I was thinking of the many, many different religions in the world and how they have many religious leaders and different ones that they look to and all. And you can go and see their shrines, and you can go and see their tombs, and you can go and see their special buildings that house the remains or whatever. There is not one of those for Jesus, because he didn't stay in the grave. All of their leaders, all of the ones that they have looked to, stayed in the grave, and they honor them now. But thank God, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. And this is resurrection morning. This is when we come together to remember what Jesus actually did for us, to be willing to go through all the suffering. But the most important part is that he rose from the dead, that he came back like he said he would. It's so important to know, because in our own life, we have to have a resurrection within. Something has to happen within us. Something has to happen within us to be reconciled back to God. We have to have something happen on the inside. And to know that we can become new, that we can be have a new life, that we can be more than what we were, that we can rise from our sins and be something that we never were before. That is the blessings and the truth and all of the gospel. This is what it is all about. It is not about what all was done. It is not about, so to speak, chosen people. It is not about those things. It is about God coming down to earth, and being willing to live and to die, to be resurrected, and to go back to heaven, that we might all follow him there, that we might all get there someday, that we can have the same thing that Jesus had. And he let them know when he was on the mountainside and he was getting ready to leave them, and he let them know that I'm going to come back someday. I'm going to come back and bring you with me. But right now, he was going to leave them. Can you imagine what it felt like for the Lord to leave them after they had had him for so long? And then they went through the horrible feeling of losing him in death. And then they went through the great joy of finding him risen. And then they go through the disappointment of being separated. But in our lives, we don't have to ever have separation. God came that we might be able to have him live within, and that he can change our lives, and that we can all be resurrected here on this earth, that we can be what we need to be right here. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath, from wrath through him. There, of course, is a place for the wicked, but God sent his own son while we were yet wicked, that we could die, that he could die, so that we could become righteous, so that we could be changed. That is a wonderful, fair, more than fair God. There are many times people say, well, life isn't fair, and this isn't fair, and that isn't fair. But God has been a very fair God. He looked down upon us. He looked on everything that was happening. He saw us when we were sinners, but he said, I can do something with them if they will but follow me and listen to me and accept me for who I am. I am their savior. I am the one that can change their life and turn it around. If they will but follow me, they can have everything that I left behind when I came down here to earth to die. When he came here, he left all of the wonderful things that were in heaven, in his home, where he was with his father. He left all of that to come down here, live among us, and suffer all the things that we suffer, suffer what it feels like to be in a sin-cursed world, actually feel the effects of it, actually see how men that are obsessed with their own purpose and their own desires, and how they were they felt so threatened by Jesus because he was stronger than they were. He performed miracles they couldn't perform. The people followed him like they didn't follow the other leaders, and they were jealous, and they were torn apart in their insides, and they wanted to get rid of him. And they did, but little did they know that it was all God's plan. It was all God's purpose. He knew what the people would do. He knew what the religious leaders would do. Jesus said that he prayed. He said he prayed and over Jerusalem. And he said, how oft I would have just gathered you in like a hen does her chicks, you know. I would have done that for you, but you wouldn't have me. They wouldn't have him. And yet there were many that turned to him, many that came to him, many of those that were rejected by the elders and by those, by those that were the elite of the time, many of them came. And we're so thankful that that happened. In Philippians 3, 10 and 11, Paul is talking here, and he says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see, that's what we're all looking forward to, is the resurrection of the dead, that we will be resurrected and brought and be able to go and be with the Lord. He was the first fruits, it says, the Bible says, and that we'll be able to rise with him and go with him and be with him forever. But Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to know the power that it means in my life. And Paul, when he was explaining to Festus and King Agrippa, and he was before the leaders in Acts 26, 14 and 15, he said, and he was describing his road to Damascus and how bright light shone and a voice spoke and all. It says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He was on his way to put the saints in prison, all those that followed Jesus. He was after them. He was going to destroy this new uprising, this new religion, not even realizing that it was the same religion fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the Jewish religion and all of the traditions. He came to fulfill them, all the commandments and all. He came to fulfill it all, and they missed it. They didn't understand. But he said, it said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he went on to say, he wanted to let them know. He wanted to let these religious rulers know what was going on and what was happening. So in down in that same scripture, that same chapter in the 18th verse, the Lord lets him know why he has struck him down on the road to Damascus, what he's going to be, what's going to happen to him. And it says that he was going to be sent out to do some things. And the things he was going to be sent out to do, this was going to be the effect of the resurrection that was taking place in his life right there on the road to Damascus. It's the same thing that happens in our life when we come to the Lord and we accept that, yes, Jesus died for me and he rose for me. And he did it for this reason. In the 18th verse, it said, to open your eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We lived under the power of Satan. We did his bidding. We obeyed him. We heard his voice in our head, and we obeyed and did the things that he said. Many times there was another voice in our head that said, don't do that. You know that's not right. Don't do that. But we had very little ability to withstand the enemy. We were under his power. But see, Christ died and then raised from the dead that we could have power over Satan here on this earth, that our eyes could be opened to the way we were living and the things that were wrong, and to understand better how a true child of God is to live, and that we would be turned from darkness to light. This is the power of the resurrection. This is what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. Had he stayed in the grave, this would not have happened. But this is the power of the resurrection, that there was going to be a great change that took place, and that they were going to receive forgiveness for their sins. Oh, there were so many times that they had to bring sacrifices and all that they needed to bring a particular type of animal, and it had to be without blemish, and it had to be a certain age, and they had to do it a certain way. And all the, there was so much ritual to it. And that if they did all those things, God would basically count that for righteousness because they obeyed and did all of the little things that didn't look like it should matter. What difference does it make if it has a flaw? Or what difference does it make? But the idea was that we obeyed everything that he said, and that was counted for righteousness. But in our day and age, not only do we have to do everything that he says, but we have to give up our sin. We have to get forgiveness for our sin. We have to realize that we are sinners, and that no matter how well we try to live, that we are sinners until God gets a hold of us. Then once he gets a hold of us, we can be forgiven for our sins that we have committed, and we can have power. We can have power to not sin. We have to forsake our sins. And the power of the resurrection is that we can do this. They couldn't do it in the Old Testament. Nobody had died and risen for them. God hadn't sent his son to die and raise for them. They had to follow all the ritualistic law. But in our day and age, God sent his son. And he expects us to honor his son. He expects us to see the sacrifice that he gave for us to bring us back while we were yet sinners, while we yet had no respect for him, while we yet didn't live for him, even though we knew, many of us knew we should live for him, but we weren't doing it. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There was supposed to be something that happened in our hearts. We were supposed to be in a place to where we recognized what he had done for us. And we recognized that we needed it. And we recognized we needed a change. And we recognized so many things. And we were supposed to be able to come to the knowledge of this. We were supposed to be able to come to a place to where we recognized that God, the great sacrifice that God had given for us. And we're so thankful this morning that that sacrifice was there. And that this day that we, the world calls Easter, and that we call Resurrection Day, that there was a wonderful, wonderful thing that happened that day. There was power that was released in the earth. Amen. There was power released. Yes. And the power that nobody had had before, that they could actually live above sin, that they didn't have to sin anymore. There was a great power went forth, and they did not have to do that anymore. And we're so thankful that that happened, because otherwise we'd all be just like they were in the Old Testament, always sorrowing and always being upset because we could never do it right, and we couldn't change ourselves. And there were things that we hated about ourselves, but we couldn't change it and all. They live like that all the time. We don't have to live like that. We can actually have a clear conscience, and we can feel standing before God, we can feel clean, and we can be in a place to where we realize that God is right there with us, and that he's taking care of us, and that we're one with him, and that we can be one with him, all because Jesus died and rose again. The resurrection, the power of the resurrection, was that we could resurrect to a new life, a different life than what we had been living, a different mind than what we had been thinking with, a different actions than we were used to doing, different ways of things that we did, that we self-protected ourselves in our mind, and we said things and we did things to make ourselves feel better, you know, because getting a little bit even made us feel better. But all in all, God came and died and rose again, that we could actually change, and that we could be different creatures. It says, going down in that fifth verse, the 17th verse, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are there some things in your life you'd like to become new? Are there some things in your life you'd like to say, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to act like this. I don't want to say things like this. I don't want to do this. I know some of these things are wrong and I shouldn't be doing them, but it seems like I just can't stop. I'm just, so to speak, addicted to whatever. And I just don't seem to have power to get away from it. But the scripture says, if you're in Christ, why? Because of the power of the resurrection. That's why. Because the power of the resurrection, not only it gives new life here, right here on the earth, it gives new life. Not just a heavenly life later. It gives new life right here. And old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only can we be reconciled to God, but then he has helped us to be able to talk to others and to deal with others and to encourage others. They can be reconciled too. That we want them to have the same thing that we have. Because it's such a difference in your life. Your life is so changed. And your life is so clean and pure. And there is a feeling in living for the Lord. There is a feeling of being clean and ready to meet God in your life, that it transcends any kind of thoughts that you've ever had. Until you get there, you do not know what it is. And once you get there, it's hard to explain what it is. But there's something that happens on the inside of us that completely changes us. And we become new in everything. We become new on all aspects of our life. And how many times have we heard people that somebody has gotten saved and somebody is living differently? And what happens? What happens is that people say, what have you done to so-and-so? Why are they, they used to do this and they used to do that. And now they won't go with us anymore and they won't do this with us and all. And some people come to the conclusion that, oh, they're in a straitjacket. They can't do this and everything. In order to appease their God, they've got to do this and they've got to do that. But that isn't what it is. That isn't what's happening. What's happening is that there is such a change that has taken place inside that the want to do those things is gone. Amen. Because, see, they didn't come from a good place. They came from a bad place. They came from the enemy. And so we don't want to do those things. We don't want. And nobody, unless you've been there, unless you've received it, unless you've gone through it, it's hard for anyone to believe, oh, come on, I won't want this anymore. Right. Oh, come on, that can't be true. But it's so true. Yes. Because it's the power of the resurrection. The fact that Jesus came back from death, we can rise from death. Because being in sin is a form of death. Yes. It's death. It's just you're dying every day before you actually get to death. And then you die and then you go to a place where you have a second death, where you are with the enemy in torment for forever. You're in constant death. Everybody's afraid of death. Most people fear it. Most people get, they dread it. They don't want to think about it. Some people avoid going to funerals because they don't want to be around death. But this kind of death is a death you experience while you're still living. And you know what it does? It takes away the fear of the physical death. Because once you have felt what God has to offer right here, then you know, what else is there? Where are we going? What are we going to experience there? So the real power of the resurrection was the fact that we can be resurrected. We can be resurrected from our dead state, from our place of hurts and revenges and unforgivenesses and all those things that torment people their whole life. Oh, this was done wrong to me in childhood, and I carry it my whole life. And when I'm 80 years old, I'm still talking about it. can't ever get free of it. Just live in it. Christ came to set us free. And he wants to resurrect us from that kind of a life to where we can go free from those things. So down in the Romans, the 8th chapter, the 31st and 32nd verse, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. Listen now, listen to what this says. He that spared not his own son. Why? Because he loved us. He loved us. So he didn't spare his own son, but delivered it up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, that's what happens. He loved us so much, he gave his only son so that we could go free. Why? Because Adam and Eve made a choice way back in the beginning and plunged us all into sin. You and I didn't make that choice. You and I never had a choice. We were born in it. They threw the world into sin, and we were born in it. We didn't have a choice. And God, looking down upon us, he said, that's not right. We should have a choice. They should have a choice. Adam and Eve had a choice. They should have a choice. And so that's what he did. He gave us a choice. He sent Jesus down to die and to resurrect, to have a resurrection so that we could have a choice. You can stay dead or you can be resurrected. You can have a new life. You can have new insides. You can have a new mind, a mind that thinks differently than it did before. You can have new loves in your life. Things that you used to love before, you won't even care about anymore. And you'll have some new loves. You'll fall in love with some things that you didn't know you could fall in love with. You'll fall in love with the Word of God. Because what is it? It's a love letter to people. It's a love letter to all of his creation. He wanted us to know how he felt about us. And how he felt about the world and how he worked with us and how he brought everything about to bring us down to a place to where he could finally send his son so that we could have everything. It's such a wonderful thing to be able to have that. He spared not his own son. And down in the 35th verse, it says, so after you've heard all of this, who's going to separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. But you can make the choice. You can decide to stay dead in your sins. You can decide to stay there. And you can separate yourself. But you can no longer be separated by someone else. You can no longer. That Adam and Eve plunged us in. We can no longer be separated by what Adam and Eve did. Now we get to make a choice. He sent his son so that we can make a choice. We get to say what's going to happen. We get to say where our life is going to go from here. We get to say these things. We get to make a choice. And God is so, he's so fair. Because while we were yet sinners and doing horrible things, Christ died. He died right in the middle of all of that. He died for all of us that were coming on, that God knew we were all going to be sinners too. Everybody was going to be plunged into sin from here on down until the world ends. He said, I'm going to give them a choice. They're going to have a better choice than they had before. They're going to have something that truly changes their life. Not just some rituals to do, and yet they still feel bad inside. And still are hurtful and still do bad things to each other. Not that kind. I'm going to let them have a resurrected life where they come back from death and they are a different and a new creature. Amen. That's the power of the resurrection. That's what changed when Christ rose. That's the power that happened, that we could all rise from the dead and be new creatures. That was the power. Yes. Down in, in verses 37 through 39, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yes. We're more than conquerors now.
That's right.
Because he loved us. So now when something comes our way that's bad or whatever, we can get rid of it. We can get rid of the thoughts. We can get rid of deeds, things that we used to do that we didn't like. You know, everybody has things about themselves they don't like. They wish they could change them, but they seem like they go, you know, they're always telling themselves, oh, I did it again. Oh, I said things again. I knew I should have been quiet. I knew this. I knew that. The resurrection gives you power. That you can actually do that. Not just wish that you could do it, but you can actually do it. Because you, when you come to the Lord, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you believe on him and you believe on his resurrection power, and you believe that he can forgive you for your sins and they can be wiped away and that you don't have to commit those sins anymore. When you get all of that, you are a new creature. There is something drastic happened in your life. And people are going to know. It says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that not death or life or angels, principalities or powers, things present or things to come, height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember the very scripture at the beginning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? So that we could have a resurrection. We could rise from the dead. We could be different creatures. We didn't have to succumb to all the enemy's temptations and all of his offerings anymore. We could become new creatures. And God is so fair to be able to come and say, you have a choice now. You don't have to live that old way anymore. You have a choice. You can choose me. You can choose me. You can let me be your Savior. You can let me come to you and bless you. You can let me teach you how to live this life. You can let me clean you up and make you this new creature that people are going to look on and say, what happened to them? What happened? They're different. Something has happened to them. So thankful that the Lord did that for us, that on this day we celebrate and we remember in celebration Jesus resurrecting from the dead. Because had he not resurrected, we couldn't be resurrected. But we can be resurrected now from this old dead life, this old life of sin, this old life that oh yes, there's some pleasures out there. And people say, the pleasures. But there's some awful things that happen out there too. And you're subject to all those the same too. And so, and what you're going to find is with the resurrected life, that those pleasures don't bring pleasure anymore. That part is dead. That dies with Jesus, and you're resurrected to this new life. It is such a wonderful thing that God did for us, how he changed us and made us new creatures. And all these things just passed away, and everything about us and in us and through us became new. And the most wonderful thing about it is that you keep learning. You keep learning. Every day you find something else. You learn something new. It's not just know these 10 rules and that's all there is. And you just have to obey 10 rules. That isn't what it's all about. It's about finding a new life in Christ. A life that expands and gets bigger. And that is more than what you thought it would be. Nobody out in sin ever looks on salvation and says, oh, I can see clear to the end of that, what it would be and everything, but I don't want it. It's because they don't see to the end. They don't see very much of it. They just see a few things and they think, oh, I don't know if I can do that. They don't realize the expanded knowledge and the expanded love in your heart, in your mind, and the getting rid of all the sin and the degradation and all, and how much it changes you. And it makes you into this new creature that is so different that all those old things don't mean the same anymore. But people don't know that because they haven't tried it yet. I remember hearing one person say that they didn't know if they could live saved, but they decided to give it a year. They decided they would do all they could for a year. They would put their whole heart into it. Well, you know, they never went back. You put your whole heart into it, you're not going back. If you put half your heart into it, you might make it halfway. If you put just a little bit in, you might make it a few weeks. But you put your whole heart into it. You do everything he says. You let him work with you and deal with you. And he so expands your being that you don't want to go back into that closed-in creature that is subject to everything, buffeting it and being against it and can't get away, being all caged up. You don't want that. There's such freedom. That's the power of the resurrected life we're talking about today. And that's why Jesus died and why he was resurrected. He died for our sins, but he was resurrected for our new life. Our new life that we can be resurrected to. Amen.
Say 2:12.